You are working in a family medicine clinic and seeing your patient, a 14-year-old named Tommy Simpson. He reports that he's joined his high school's track team, and he's been getting really bad muscle cramps and having difficulty exercising during the team's practices. Tommy notes he'll get weak and develop cramping in his legs during the more intense practices. Sometimes he's able to push through it, and after some time, it may even feel better. At yesterday's practice, he had a particularly severe episode of muscle pain, and that evening he noted his urine was reddish-brown. He showed his parents, and they scheduled this appointment with you today. As you reflect on his story, what do you think could be causing Tommy's symptoms, and what treatment might you advise? Consider your answers as we begin this audio break. Welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Adam Weinstein, bringing glycogen storage disorders from our bricks to your ears. Let's get started demonstrating how kids are not little adults. After completing this episode, you will be able to 1. Identify the most common glycogen storage diseases, including von Guericke disease or glycogen storage disease type 1, Pompe disease or type 2, Corey disease type 3, and McArdle disease type 5. 2. Identify the enzymes deficient in each of the most common glycogen storage diseases. 3. Describe the clinical manifestations of each of the most common glycogen storage diseases. And 4. Describe the management for each of the most common glycogen storage diseases. Part 1. What are glycogen storage diseases? Glucose is the main source of energy for nearly all forms of life. Storage of glucose for future needs is a challenge with solutions that vary among organisms. Animals use glycogen to do this job. Glycogen is a large, branched polymer of glucose molecules linked together by alpha-1-4 and alpha-1-6 glycosidic bonds. Stored in this form, the liver and muscles can break down the glycogen whenever the body needs an extra boost of glucose. Glycogen storage diseases are genetic disorders in glycogen metabolism resulting in excess accumulation of glycogen. Because the liver and muscles are the two main organs that use glycogen, they are also the two most affected by glycogen storage diseases. The inability to break down glycogen into glucose by the liver leads to hypoglycemia. Additionally, glycogen accumulation in the liver cells may cause liver damage and even lead to liver failure. The inability to break down and use glycogen by the muscle may cause weakness, cramping, and exercise intolerance. These sound like symptoms our patient Tommy has been getting. I wonder if he might have a glycogen storage disorder. Of note, since the heart is a muscle, some glycogen storage diseases may impair the function of the heart and potentially lead to heart failure. Yikes! There are at least 12 distinct glycogen storage diseases, and in this audio brick, we'll cover the four most common ones. These are type 1 glycogen storage disease, or von Guericke disease, type 2 disease, or Pompe disease, type 3, or Corey disease, and type 5 disease, or McArdle disease. Yes, that's right, we skipped type 4, or Anderson's disease, since it is less common than these other types. These four diseases are all inherited in an autosomal recessive fashion, and biopsies of the liver or muscle will stain positive with an increased amount of periodic acid schiff, or PAS stain, which is a stain that detects polysaccharides like glycogen. Part 2, von Guericke disease, or glycogen storage disease type 1. Type 1 glycogen storage disease is known as von Guericke disease and is by far the most common glycogen storage disease, accounting for 90% of cases. The most common subtype of von Guericke disease is caused by a deficiency in the enzyme glucose-6-phosphatase, which converts glucose-6-phosphate to glucose in the liver. A second subtype is caused by a deficiency in the glucose-6-phosphate translocase that delivers glucose-6-phosphate from the cytosol into the endoplasmic reticulum. Either way, the liver can't convert glucose-6-phosphate into usable glucose, so this substrate builds up inside liver cells. These patients have severely impaired gluconeogenesis and glycogenolysis. Generally, von Guericke disease spares the muscles since they are able to use the extra glucose-6-phosphate in glycolysis for energy. And now for a question break. What enzyme is most often deficient in von Guericke disease? Glucose-6-phosphatase is most often deficient in von Guericke disease. Patients with von Gierke disease present in infancy, usually after a few months of age. They have poor growth, relatively thin limbs, a doll-like face with fat cheeks, and a distended abdomen due to the hepatomegaly. Because of impaired gluconeogenesis and glycogenolysis, children with von Gierke disease can develop severe and life-threatening hypoglycemia after fasting, manifesting as seizures, coma, or even death. If untreated, recurrent hypoglycemic events can cause intellectual disability. Patients with von Gierke disease may also develop lactic acidosis, resulting from an impaired Cori cycle in which lactate is not able to be converted to glucose in the liver through the gluconeogenesis pathway. Basically, since glucose 6-phosphatase doesn't work, lactate builds up in the bloodstream. As if that wasn't enough, additional clinical manifestations of von Gierke disease include 1. Elevated cholesterol and triglycerides, related to impaired liver function and leading to an increased risk of pancreatitis. 2. Kidney enlargement and chronic kidney disease due to glycogen accumulation in the kidney. And 3. Elevated uric acid due to impaired renal clearance and leading to gout later in life. And lastly, 4, hepatic adenomas in the second or third decade of life, leading to increased risk of liver cancer. Before moving on, let's discuss a mnemonic that may help you remember some of these features of von Gierke's disease. Consider the G's of von Gierke's disease. Von Gierke disease is deficient in glucose 6-phosphatase, has impaired gluconeogenesis and glycogenolysis, and presents with hypoglycemia and gout. In the past, a definitive diagnosis of von Gierke disease required a liver biopsy, but with improved genetic testing capabilities, this is no longer needed. Treatment of von Gierke disease focuses on dietary measures to prevent hypoglycemia. Patients will eat uncooked cornstarch throughout the day and night to maintain blood glucose levels. Vomiting can be a very significant and life-threatening symptom, so patients are instructed to present for care immediately were they to develop an illness with vomiting and an inability to take food orally. Patients are also instructed to avoid lactose, fructose, and sucrose because they worsen the accumulation of glucose 6-phosphate. Medications for other clinical manifestations may be used, for example, allopurinol for gout, angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors for patients with kidney dysfunction and proteinuria, and fibrates for high triglycerides. With these modifications and treatments, patients with von Gierke disease can live quite long and normal lives. Let's summarize the treatment of von Gierke's disease with a question. How is von Gierke disease treated? Von Gierke disease is treated primarily through dietary modifications, including eating uncooked cornstarch throughout the day and night to prevent hypoglycemia and avoidance of lactose, fructose, and sucrose. Part 3, Pompe disease. Next, we'll discuss a glycogen storage disease that primarily affects muscle, or Pompe disease, also known as glycogen storage disease type 2. This disease results from a deficiency in lysosomal acid alpha-glucosidase, also known as acid maltase, an enzyme that breaks down glycogen inside lysosomes. Therefore, Pompe disease is also a lysosomal storage disease, where the accumulated substrate is glycogen. We will focus on the classic infantile form in our discussion. So as the glycogen accumulates in muscles in Pompe disease, it causes damage to the muscle fibers throughout the body. This damage can be detected through muscle biopsy and the PAS stain, which stains the accumulated polysaccharide a deep pink, as we discussed earlier. In Pompe disease, glycogen may build up in any muscle cell, including skeletal muscle, smooth muscle, and heart muscle. In addition to the glycogen accumulation, muscle biopsy may demonstrate large, clear vacuoles due to the fatty replacement of damaged muscle. The classic form of Pompe disease presents in infancy with macroglossia, weakness, hypotonia, and most significantly, a rapidly progressive hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Unlike von Gierke disease, in Pompe disease, the liver functions properly, and any enlargement or dysfunction of the liver is from secondary impact related to heart failure. A mnemonic that may help you recall the major clinical manifestations of Pompe disease is to consider the double P's. Pompe trashes the pump, that is, the heart. Creatinine kinase elevation indicating muscle damage is a sensitive test for Pompe disease. More specifically, enzyme assays showing deficiency in lysosomal acid alpha-glucosidase or DNA sequencing can confirm the diagnosis. Sadly, like many other lysosomal storage diseases, classic Pompe disease has a very poor prognosis. Untreated, children die in the first year or two of life related to complications from heart failure. Enzyme replacement therapy with acid alpha-glucosidase is now available and has changed the prognosis substantially. Even so, children with infantile onset disease continue to have significant muscle weakness and heart disease in young childhood, impairing growth and motor development and heart function. Before moving on to the next glycogen storage disease, let's take a question break. Where in the cell does glycogen accumulate in Pompe disease? Glycogen accumulates inside lysosomes in Pompe disease. Part 4, Corey disease. Corey disease, also known as type 3 glycogen storage disease, is the next disorder we'll discuss. Corey disease is due to deficiency in the debranching enzyme alpha-1,6-glucosidase. This debranching enzyme works in the beginning of glycogen metabolism to cleave alpha-1,6 bonds, or to debranch glycogen, just as its name suggests. The primary clinical manifestations of Corey disease is in the liver. One might think of Corey disease as a milder form of von Gierke disease. Patients with both diseases may have hepatomegaly, short stature, and lipid abnormalities. However, Corey disease has much less severe hypoglycemia risk compared to von Gierke disease. This is because gluconeogenesis is not affected in Corey disease. That is, debranching enzyme is not needed for gluconeogenesis. Rather, it's just needed for glycogen breakdown. Additionally, the Corey cycle is intact in these patients, so these patients can use other fuels such as lactate to make glucose through gluconeogenesis. And therefore, these patients do not have increased problems with lactic acidosis. And a final difference between Corey disease and von Gierke's relates to the debranching enzyme's importance in muscle function as well as liver function, so patients with Corey disease do present with muscle symptoms such as weakness and cardiomyopathy. Let's review what we learned with a question break. Can you name three ways that Corey disease differs from von Gierke's disease? You would be correct if you said Corey disease has less severe hypoglycemia, has no increased risk for lactic acidosis, and may have muscle symptoms. The treatment for Corey disease is the same as for von Gierke disease. The goal is to avoid hypoglycemia, so patients with Corey disease also eat cornstarch as a supplement to prevent hypoglycemia. In addition, a high-protein diet is also helpful for those with muscle disease. There is no need to avoid sucrose, fructose, or lactose because gluconeogenesis is not affected. Part 5, McArdle disease. The last glycogen storage disease we will discuss is McArdle disease, or type 5 glycogen storage disease. McArdle disease is caused by a deficiency in the enzyme muscle glycogen phosphorylase, also known as myophosphorylase. Muscle glycogen phosphorylase normally removes glucose molecules from the outer branches of glycogen. Unlike Pompe disease, McArdle disease primarily affects skeletal muscle. Unique to glycogen storage diseases, McArdle disease typically presents in adolescence or young adulthood. Classically, patients report muscle cramps and darkened or discolored urine, especially after vigorous exercise. The discolored urine is due to myoglobinuria from breakdown of myoglobin and filtration into the urine. It discolors the urine to a reddish-brown or dark-brown color. Patients with McArdle disease may also experience a second wind phenomenon during exercise where they can continue physical activity without pain after an initial period of fatigue, pain, and weakness. This is a pathognomonic feature of McArdle disease. You can think of the first 10 or so minutes of exercise as a warm-up. During this time, patients feel the most fatigue, pain, and discomfort because glycogen cannot be broken down. Afterwards, the muscles are vasodilated and there's greater blood flow, allowing any circulating glucose to reach muscle fibers more easily. This sounds quite a lot like the symptoms our patient Tommy Simpson was presenting with, doesn't it? A mnemonic that may help you recall McArdle's disease is the M's of McArdle. McArdle has problems with muscle. is a deficiency in myophosphorylase and presents with muscle cramps and myoglobinuria. Like Pompe disease, creatinine kinase elevation indicating muscle damage is a sensitive test. More specifically, enzyme assays or DNA sequencing can confirm the diagnosis. Treatment for McArdle disease, like many other glycogen storage diseases, is diet-based. Patients should eat a lot of complex carbohydrates and load up on simple sugars such as glucose, fructose, or sucrose before strenuous activity. They should also avoid very intense exercise, whereas dynamic aerobic exercise like cycling or walking is actually beneficial. And now for a question break. How is McArdle disease treated? A diet high in complex carbohydrates and loading up on simple sugars before exercise is the treatment for McArdle disease. And that's all I have today for glycogen storage diseases. Let's see if we've completed our goals for this session. First, can you identify the most common glycogen storage diseases? Glycogen storage diseases are genetic defects in glycogen metabolism leading to accumulation of glycogen inside cells. The most common include von Gierke disease, or glycogen storage disease type 1, Pompe disease, or type 2, Corey disease, type 3, and McArdle disease, or type 5. Next, can you identify the enzyme deficiency, clinical manifestations, and management for von Gierke disease? Von Gierke disease is due to deficiency of the enzyme glucose-6-phosphatase. It presents in infancy with severe fasting hypoglycemia and lactic acidosis due to impaired glycogenolysis and gluconeogenesis in the liver. Von Gierke disease is treated with dietary supplementation of glucose in the form of cornstarch and avoidance of simple sugars like glucose, fructose, and sucrose. Can you identify the enzyme deficiency, clinical manifestations, and management for Pompe disease? Pompe disease is a deficiency in the lysosomal enzyme acid alpha-glucosidase, presenting early in infancy with weakness, hypotonia, and hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, leading to heart failure. Without treatment, most patients die around age 1 year of age. Enzyme replacement therapy has improved prognosis, but patients with infantile onset Pompe disease continue to have severe manifestations in childhood. Next, can you identify the enzyme deficiency, clinical manifestations, and management for Corey disease? Corey disease is a deficiency in the debranching enzyme alpha-1,6-glucosidase and resembles a milder form of von Gierke disease in many ways. There is only intermediate hypoglycemia and no lactic acidosis. Muscles may also be affected in Corey disease. Like von Gierke disease, Corey disease is treated with dietary supplementation of glucose in the form of cornstarch, but no need to avoid simple sugars. And lastly, can you identify the enzyme deficiency, clinical manifestations, and management for McArdle disease? McArdle disease is a deficiency in the enzyme muscle glycogen phosphorylase, presenting in adolescence with exercise intolerance, cramps, fatigue, and myoglobinuria following exercise. Patients classically can experience a second wind and feel better and stronger if they persist exercising. Patients should eat a lot of complex carbohydrates and load up on simple sugars such as glucose, fructose, or sucrose before strenuous activity. Now armed with your newfound knowledge, let's revisit our patient's story from the beginning of this episode. Recall that you are seeing Tommy Simpson in your family medicine office for complaints of muscle cramping, weakness, and fatigue with strenuous exercise since he joined his high school track and field team. He also reports a reddish-brown discolored urine after his most recent practice. Lastly, he's noted that if he's able to push through his symptoms, he will often feel better and be able to finish the practice. As you reflect on his story, what do you think could be causing Tommy's symptoms, and what treatment might you advise? You you recognize that Tommy seems to be presenting with the signs and symptoms of McArdle disease. You increase your suspicion for this by identifying an elevated creatine kinase enzyme in his blood testing and confirm this with genetic testing. You advise Tommy to avoid overly strenuous exercise. Track and field is a good sport, especially if he targets some of the more slow and steady events rather than the intense sprints. You suggest he load up on simple carbohydrates prior to practices and events, and that he ease into his practices more slowly to mitigate his symptoms. With these strategies, you explain that he'll feel much better and more comfortable participating. And that's all I have for today's audio brick. Thanks for joining me. If you like this episode, give it a thumbs up or a comment. You can enjoy the full brick experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, questions, flashcards, and active learning. Stay healthy out there.